to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
Thank you for a really thoughtful conversation. It's been one of the most thoughtful conversations I've had about the book overall. And so I really appreciate it.
Welcome, everybody, to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. Today's sponsor is Sally Doyle. Everybody hates doing the books except for Sally Doyle. At Absolute Business Solutions, she's a trustworthy bookkeeper who loves crunching the numbers for small business owners and entrepreneurs. You can sleep soundly knowing every dollar in your business is 100% accounted for. You're freed up to do the work you're good at and keep leading. What's really special about how Sally Doyle works with people is she's a profit strategist as well as a bookkeeper. So, and she's an innovative thinker. So she looks at the books and she notices what's working and what she thinks can make some, she's in a position to make some improvements because she's focused on helping the business run effectively. So she's a wonderful asset. So Sally's been sponsoring a number of our podcast programs, and I just really appreciate you, Sally, for doing that. And you can reach Sally at 1-651-208-8151. I also have a link at the bottom of the show notes. So check out Sally Doyle at Absolute Business Solutions. Today in the studio, we have, like always, a very, very special guest, Joanne Funch. She's a marketing consultant, experienced social media and online marketing strategist. She's worked with hundreds of business clients, helping them establish a marketing process, strategies, and implementation of tactics since establishing her business in 1996. Joanne especially loves to teach and empower businesses to take control of their social and digital footprint by establishing their voice and implementing strategies. She was an early adopter of LinkedIn and has been teaching others how to use it effectively to meet their professional objectives. She's been a LinkedIn workshop trainer for the University of Minnesota, Business and Economic Development Department, the Small Emerging Growth Companies, a guest presenter and speaker for other organizations and conferences locally and nationally. Joanne works with both private companies and individuals on LinkedIn profile development. She helped me with mine, and we'll be talking about that in our second conversation. Joanne has a deep passion for relationship marketing, transforming how professionals connect, engage, and grow their business. So welcome to the program, Joanne.
Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Happy to be here.
Good. Yes, the reason that I thought you would be a wonderful guest is not only are you an exceptional business owner, but you also have a unique expertise that I think is in high demand. And as entrepreneurs who have been in business for a while, many are struggling with the digital marketing aspect of their business. And so you can shed some light in our conversation about what has happened in digital marketing, and we can track back to your own personal path.
Sure.
To that.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, let's start with how you're feeling.
I feel great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel great.
Yeah. Give me some other feeling words.
Well, I love to. I just love to chat about connecting and marketing and all those things that I love so much. So
yeah,
I feel great.
Great. I'm glad that you're here. Mm-hmm. You started out in Minnesota. You were born here?
I was born and raised here in Minnesota, yes.
Okay. And then you eventually moved out of state. What was it like growing up in your family?
I had a really great family. I come from actually a family of entrepreneurs, so it kind of is in my blood. as is my siblings. And so...
How many siblings?
I have two brothers. And so we all, I think, because we came from a family of entrepreneurs, we probably think differently than other people do. And so I grew up with parents who, you know, thought out of the box and took risks. And, you know, I'm sure things were very scary for them. We didn't know that as kids.
Yeah.
But I would consider them both very adventuresome.
Okay. What kind of areas were they interested in?
Well, my father owned a construction company, which my brothers eventually took over. And my mom owned several retail stores.
Okay. What kind of products?
She sold handwork.
Okay.
Needlepoint primarily.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so they both had separate businesses.
Separate businesses.
That's even
and
a
prior to
here
that,
too.
My yeah. mother actually worked for my dad for many years, helping him get his business off the ground.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. She was handling like the operational end of it?
Yeah. All the office administrative yeah. things.
Yeah, which really helped her with the retail business then.
Yeah.
Because she then knew how to do it.
Exactly.
She was already trained in.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great. And who was in your home with you when you were growing up?
Two brothers. I have two okay. brothers, yeah. An older and a younger, right in the middle.
Okay. And I'm trying a little bit something different in asking some questions because I think if we reflect on some words of your earliest recollection of your childhood relationship with your mother and your father, it kind of gives us a broader picture of what it was like for you growing up in your family and what qualities your parents might have had and shared with you.
Well, what comes to mind was my parents were very family-oriented. It mattered to them. Family mattered, both our family and their families that they came from. So, you know, they really instilled the importance of family.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, you know, my brothers and I still feel strongly about having family and supportive family and doing whatever you need to do. So,
yeah.
And I think that my folks gave us really basic, you know, life skills and they were very down to earth. They, you know, I think provided us, I'm not sure the words to describe it necessarily, but it was a very stable, close family life.
Okay. And
we always ate a meal together. How about that?
Yeah.
Who does that anymore?
Yeah. Well, we try.
But yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Dinner time.
Just little things like that. You know?
Okay. That you felt like you were cared for and treated well.
Yeah.
And you don't always think of in small business because it's so volatile, mm-hmm. Stability.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the balance or you know you've achieved something in your business when you have this sense of stability where you know where the revenue's coming in and you've figured out a way to manage mm-hmm. The cash flow in equilibrium.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you say that because as a kid, I'm not sure I was ever aware whether my folks had financial struggles or not because they never indicated that. But now, you know, as an adult and having my own business, there's lots of struggles. We just didn't know about any of them.
Yeah.
We were always provided for and...
Well,
I heard about the stories 25 years later, but when I lived it, I certainly didn't see any of those things.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Very interesting.
So where did you learn about money, managing money and?
I learned a lot of it on my own, honestly.
Mm.
I can say that's one skill in my generation that I think honestly wasn't taught very well.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I don't remember, you know, in school, I don't remember learning about money. I don't. I mean, I knew the importance of money, but I didn't learn really about money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ruth Hayden is a local person who focuses on money. She wrote a book, Money Book for Richer, Not Poorer, a money book for couples.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I spent the year prior to getting married having money meetings and getting comfortable talking about money and going through our money beliefs and our training with each other. And I was just really impressed with her ability to pull together a book where it was very concrete and practical.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think that there's not enough conversations about money.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know. So you learned a lot of it then on your own, you must have.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you went along.
Absolutely.
So what were some of the things you were interested in as a young girl?
Art.
Art. What kind of
stuff? I was very creative when I was young, and so interesting. I don't really do anything creative anymore. But
I consider marketing creative.
I mean, with my hands, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that was really my primary interest.
Okay. Hmm. So, and as you grew up, who in your family did you end up being kind of the closest to?
Well, gosh, I mean, I think that ebbs and flows as the years change and
okay,
families change and lives change.
Okay.
I mean, mine have changed a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to give us a little?
I mean, I moved out of the state for 25 years of my adult life. That's a long time.
And your family of origin stayed here?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
So you moved out to California. What brought you there?
Adventure.
Okay. So you were curious to be in a warmer climate? Or?
And what really wasn't about the climate at that time, it was really about doing something different. I did have an opportunity to interview for a job, which I never accepted, but another opportunity came by and I said, why not?
Yeah.
So I moved and stayed for 25 years.
Okay. And was this out of college, out of high school?
No, I was 27.
Oh.
When I left Minneapolis.
And were you single?
I was single.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, because that's a time where you kind of have plunked down some roots.
Yeah, I was sort of the oddball amongst my group of friends. You know, I'm really going to age myself now, but, you know, I'm over 50. And so, you know, my friends were all getting married, and I just didn't... I thought I can always do that. I thought I can always do that.
Yeah.
But can I always get an opportunity like this? And so that was more important to me.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about how your life played out then in California. How did you adjust and what was your first job?
So when I left the Twin Cities, I actually was in the travel business, and I stayed in the travel business for a while when I was in California. And at that time, people out there loved people from the Midwest because we have a different set of work values. And it was very interesting because anytime you mentioned you were from the Midwest, people would glom onto you immediately. Uh-huh. So it was easy to get a job when you said you were from the Midwest because there were different work ethics here.
Yeah.
And when they say life is a beach in California, they really mean it. I mean, people act like, you know, it's just a different way of life. It's a different attitude.
Sure.
So I didn't have any problem getting a job. But the other interesting thing was I left that job in that company and I loved the people I worked for, but the people that worked for me didn't want to work. And I just couldn't get past that. And I would say to the owner of this company, I give up. I can't, they don't want to work. They don't want to do things. I can't be in a job where people are that unmotivated. And I left.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah.
And was that a scary time or just a matter of fact, like, time to move on?
Kind of, yeah. And then another opportunity had presented itself, and it was a good opportunity for me. And so, I went to the next thing. And it was more challenging. It was a more challenging opportunity for me.
Yeah.
So I did that.
Okay. And eventually you ended up into your own business.
So eventually I got out of the travel industry completely and I ended up working for a company who sold a product to the military. And at that time, there was still a very large military presence on the West Coast. And I had met somebody who was selling to the military. And anyway, long story short, she really liked me and wanted to hire me for their company in a sales role. And I was kind of out of this other position. And so I accepted their role at this company. And so I started an entirely new career selling apparel to the U.S. military bases. And it ended up being a really great niche for a long time. Yeah. And so I worked for them for quite a few years until one year they said to me, I think I was making too much money actually. And they didn't want me to be an employee anymore. They wanted me to be an independent contractor.
Okay.
And so actually that was the first step into my thinking about entrepreneurship.
Okay.
Because I thought, okay, I can do that, but I'm certainly not going to just represent your company.
Oh.
As long as I don't work for you anymore.
Right.
And so I ended up becoming a manufacturer's rep, and I started a manufacturer's rep group with another gal that used to work with me, and that was really my first business.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Good for you. Yeah, that the opportunity kind of came about.
Yeah.
And then you framed it in a way that would work for you to give the autonomy and the freedom for you to make as much money as you'd like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you made it, you had it on your terms.
Exactly. And, as most entrepreneurs think, you see a opportunity and you can always find a way to do it better. That's sort of how I think how entrepreneurs think. They see things and they feel that they can make it better. And so along our journey, some of the companies we represented, we thought were doing very poor work, very poor delivery, and so we thought we can do this better ourselves. And so we ended up starting a manufacturing business that we ended up manufacturing some clothing lines ourselves because we thought we could do it better, and we did.
And so there were a number of owners that you all formed a partnership?
Or it was just two of us.
Two of you.
So the same gal that I went into partnership with to start this rep firm, we decided to do this together.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you let go of the repping?
No, we did that too.
Okay. So you were running two different businesses at the same time.
It was all the same business. We had all the same clients. Oh. We just manufactured some of it, and there were some items that we still represented from other companies.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So we did both.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good way to kind of combine it.
Yeah.
So you did it under one company name?
Correct.
I see. Oh, yeah. Okay. And then?
And then, here's a fun entrepreneurial story. If anybody's ever been in a partnership, this one went sideways.
Okay. After how many years?
After, I think it was about 6 years. My partner didn't want to be in this business anymore, and I'm not even going to go into all the details, but it was a little bit of an ugly breakup. It's kind of like a bad marriage. Okay. A partnership can be.
Yeah.
And we ended up closing the business and splitting up the assets and things like that. And then I ended up going into business with my husband after that.
So during the time that you were running the business with this other partner, you found a partner, life partner.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. He had been in the picture for quite a while, but he did graphic arts and some things on the side. And anyway, he was able to help me kind of restart my business. And fast forward a number of years, he ended up quitting his full-time job and we went into partnership together. And we had a marketing business and we had a manufacturing business. And we still had some accounts that I dealt with the military.
Okay.
So I serviced those accounts for quite a few years, offering a different line of products. And then also we did marketing and promotions in our local community primarily. So how I kind of really got started in marketing.
Sure.
And that was back in 96 when we started this business.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you had already been familiar with sales and
yes.
You knew what it was like to be in partnership with someone and
yes.
develop some processes
yes.
and systems to get the business
yes.
in the door. And so with your husband, with his graphic artist background.
He really actually had a sales background. He was a fantastic salesman.
Oh, what a nice compliment
graphic art
for both of you.
Was just a interest he had that he was really good at.
Oh, yeah. And so you were in partnership with him for how long?
We were in partnership together from 96 until 2005, and he died in 2005. So not only did I lose my life partner, I lost my business partner.
Wow.
All in 1 week.
In 1 week, boy.
Yeah.
So how did you recover from that? Was it a sudden death?
Yeah, it was. How do you recover? One day at a time.
Okay. Yeah.
I kept the business going for about 2 years after he passed away, and then I decided I needed to downsize my whole life.
Okay.
And
so how did your customers respond and what was your support around that time?
Well,
to get you through this or help you with this?
You know, I had a lot of support from friends and from colleagues. My military accounts weren't quite as understanding.
Oh.
So I didn't talk a lot about my personal life with them. It's just sometimes all business rolls,
yeah.
like it or not.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
And most of the support I had ended up being people suggesting I hire more people. But after 2 years, that wasn't the solution for me. Because hiring more people meant I had to make more money.
Yeah.
Having to make more money meant more hours and more stress, and I already had plenty of that.
Yeah, and there was no room then to grieve.
A lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that not a lot.
Yeah.
I just had to keep all the plates spinning,
yeah.
so to speak.
Yeah.
Until I couldn't anymore, until I decided I just can't do this anymore. The solution for me wasn't hiring more people. I needed to stop. And so that's when I decided to relocate back to the Twin Cities.
I see.
2 years after that.
Okay.
So I ended up closing the business.
Mm.
I sold off some of the assets. I wasn't able to sell the business. I just, honestly, I didn't have time.
Yeah.
I sold my house really quickly. I was lucky. And so everything's a trade-off.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was the pull back here to Minnesota?
Family.
Family?
More family support. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. It was actually in 2007 in California. It was right before the market crashed.
Oh, yeah.
So I was really, in retrospect, I was really lucky that I sold my business, I closed my business, sold my house, got out from the lease of the building I was in and things like that. So
you had financial freedom?
I did for the most part. I took some hits on some things too at the same time.
Sure.
But you have to make those decisions in business, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like you made some really wise ones.
I'm not sure they were all wise. I mean, but they were the best I could do at the time.
Yeah, with what you were going through.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So you landed back here, and then you continued, you must have started over.
I totally started over.
Okay.
Yeah, totally started my life over, which was really interesting just in terms of, now what?
Yeah.
I sat on my patio for about a couple of months and did absolutely nothing.
So you bought a house here?
Bought a house.
Okay.
I did have at least enough financial freedom where I didn't have to run out and get a job the first day I landed, so to speak.
Right.
And I really wasn't sure what I was going to do. I didn't know anybody in business. I had longtime friends, but I really didn't know anybody. I didn't know what was going on here. And I just thought, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And after a couple of months, I decided that I was going to kind of see what was happening in terms of marketing. And I was trying to decide if I wanted to keep some of my old business. And anyway, at that time, if you can remember back to, you know, 07, early 08.
Everybody's got a story around that time. It was very, yeah.
Well, I mean, the economy was not very good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things in business were changing a lot. And in my industry in marketing, things had been changing over the last couple of years. It's hard for us to remember. You know, things like social media and internet marketing hadn't been around that long.
Yeah.
And so what I decided to do was really take some classes, number one, on internet marketing. Nobody even uses that term anymore. It's so interesting. But
right.
Back then it was internet marketing and social media, and really tried to understand how I wanted to take my business, if I was going to start my business over, and how I was going to do that. And then at the time, I also started using LinkedIn to meet people because I didn't know anybody.
Mm.
And I started using that tool to reach out to people. And at that time, there were so few people using LinkedIn that everybody would respond to me.
Okay.
It was very interesting. It was an interesting time. People were curious and things were new. And so I ended up getting back into marketing, and I decided that the direction of marketing was really digital and social media. And I decided to make that my passion and my business.
And just before we finish out our first conversation, when did you establish Marketing Dish? And how did that help you with acclimating with the your new move, but also, I mean, was that the name of your business?
It actually wasn't the name of my business. Initially, I had kept the previous name of my company that I had in California. But interestingly, after a couple of years, it just didn't suit who I was and what I was doing. And really, the name Marketing Dish really came from my passion for food.
Okay. You've got a really cute picture on your website with, go ahead and explain that.
So my tagline is serving up solutions for your online success. And I use a lot of play on food words and only because it's fun.
Yeah.
I like the name. It's just fun. It represents a lot of who I am as a person.
I see. Well, and referring to, like, thinking about marketing as a recipe.
Right.
I think is a really great way of kind of looking at marketing.
Yes. And I often also use the tagline that marketing is like a recipe you cook. It doesn't work without the right ingredients.
Right. And what do you think are the right ingredients?
Oh, there are many. There's so many.
All right. Well, we'll go into that in the next conversation. I would like to encourage everybody to go to marketingdish.com. And there is, on your blog, you have some great articles. Mm-hmm. But I think we'll talk more about what's happened in the digital marketing. But you've got trends for 2019. Mm-hmm. And you also have great resources. So, like, for example, establish and update a Google My page. And you've got the link right there so that if people do not have their business address and their website connecting in Google, this is a great place to check out that and make sure that you can manage your own Google identity.
Absolutely. It's really key that you do establish your business on Google.
Yeah. And one other thing before we go is personalizing and humanizing your marketing.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful, and you're a perfect example of that. You're at marketingdish.com. You've got, I can just see your personality from different angles in different aspects of your website.
Well, one thing I say in that article is that consumer trust is tough to earn and it's in short supply. And so how you differentiate yourself and how you humanize your brand, I think, really matters. I think there's so much noise online too, both online and offline, but mostly online these days. Noise meaning, there's just so many people talking about things that, you need to bring out your personality that give people a chance to know you.
Yeah. And we have lots more tools than we used to do that.
Yes.
And you can easily do a short little video and upload it to YouTube and get the link and put it in your website.
Yes.
It's so much easier than it used to be.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for sharing the first part of your journey with us.
Sure.
Would you like to continue on with another conversation?
Sure.
Okay. In Joanne's journey, she is a perfect example of moving into a market and shifting with it from going, even the language from internet marketing to digital marketing and all that implies and all the pieces that are being built out in our businesses. And so she is a great person, I think, in helping with the overwhelm and to break it down and look at your entire brand. And there's many different pieces to that, but mainly in our next conversation, we're going to have a LinkedIn focus because we feel very strongly that that is the direction that every professional is there on that site, and developing your identity there is really critical to augmenting your brand. Is that how you're thinking about it?
Yes. Well, right. we all have an online reputation to manage now. We don't think about it, but we do, right?
Yeah.
We're all online, so LinkedIn is a great platform for managing your professional brand.
Good way to talk about that. All right. Well, thank you for being here. And thank you for also being very vulnerable in sharing these deeper aspects of your journey, because it sounds very challenging and not exactly what you had hoped, you know, as you're going along, and to land on your feet the way you have and forge ahead into a new life. I mean...
Clink the glasses. Yay, Joanne. You kept going.
All right. So thanks for you being here.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks for everybody for tuning in and listening. And thanks, Sylvie Cabea. She's filling in for Mike Cabea as photographer, videographer, and sound engineer. So thanks, Sylvie. Yeah, Monsieur. All right. So I'll have some tips for you in the show notes, and we'll see everybody next week. Thanks again for tuning in.